When Harold and Rachel Earls decided to take their life public via a vlog, they had a distinct purpose in mind.
I mean, we share everything from our mundane life, you know, doing the dishes and hanging out as a family, to some very intense moments of giving birth and finding out we're pregnant. And I think that God uses all of the ordinary moments of our life that not only are relatable to other people, but bring glory back to Him. And that was something at the time we could see, but not really see how God is using our story.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You can find us online at familylifetoday.com. We'll hear today from Harold and Rachel Earls about the joys and challenges that come with living your life out in the open, online, in front of everybody. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. So you guys apparently decided at some point early in your marriage, we're just going to be kind of open with everybody about the reality of our life and our marriage. Because as I've talked to people who listen to Family Life Today and ask them what they like about listening to you, one of the things they say is, we like how real the Wilsons are, how transparent, how authentic, how they just kind of share real life with us.
We actually make all that stuff up. We're perfect. We just know other people have problems, so we make ours up.
Did you have a conversation at some point in your marriage where you said, are we going to keep our stuff hidden back here, or are we going to put our stuff out on display on the front lawn?
Did we have a conversation?
I think we're both pretty open, and it would be really hard for us to not reveal who we really were. It felt inauthentic, and I don't think that we could do it. It felt fake.
So the first time that you're speaking together and Dave says, well, let me tell you this story, and you go, you're going to tell that story?
I don't think I even thought that.
Really?
I think it was subconscious. I grew up around the church. Didn't really, I mean, I sort of went because my mom made me, you know, single mom, and went every week. I can remember being 11, 12 years old. She would come to the door, my bedroom, and look. And if I was asleep, she'd go without me sometimes. And I'd be, you know, just pretending. And then, you know, I'd have to go. I hated it. And one of the things I hated, it seemed so fake. Mm. It always felt like everybody there is sort of perfect. I'm not, so I don't fit. Mm-hmm. So I do believe after I became a follower of Christ in college, it was like, none of us are perfect.
Yeah.
Why are we hiding this?
Why would we pretend?
And there's victory in Christ, but it's in the middle of our brokenness, strength and weakness. So why not reveal weakness? It's attractive to people. It's going to bring people to Jesus. So we had a belief from the very beginning, we're not going to hide our problems.
But
we're going to reveal them.
It was also difficult at times. And we've shared before that one of the first times I shared my testimony of sexual abuse on our stage at our church, I received a letter from a woman saying, you glorified Satan today by letting that out. And man, I wrestled with that. It was the hardest thing I could have heard because I wanted to bring glory to Jesus. And my goal in sharing it was, look what God has done in revealing my wounds and scars. It was also revealing the victories of what God had done to bring wholeness to that area.
We've got a couple joining us this week.
They take this to a whole nother level.
They do. Rachel and Harold Earls are with us. Welcome to Family Life Today.
Thanks for having us on.
We're excited.
You guys, actually, you kind of happened on this without being intentional about it.
Right.
You posted a video on YouTube without stopping to think maybe what the implications of that could be. Tell us about making this video right after you had started dating this cute guy from West Point.
So it was actually after I had graduated from college, and Harold and I were supposed to get married the following year after he had graduated. So I was a year ahead of him, and I had been wrestling a little bit of what was I supposed to do. I felt like my life was on pause because I knew we'd be getting married. He was in the military, and our life would be taking off in that direction. And so just trying to figure out job-wise what to do, I felt a little bit of emptiness. And one day, Harold kind of brought it up to me of, why don't you make a YouTube channel? And I had no idea. Like, I didn't watch YouTube videos. I didn't know that was a thing. But he knew that I had a love of videography. I used to always video our little dates together. And so I said, okay. And at the time, I was at my parents' house, and I just went into my bedroom, pulled up my laptop, did the little self camera on the computer, sat down, and filmed a little video of signs you're dating a West Point cadet, because that's something I was going through in my life at the time, dating Harold. And I thought it was silly. I thought nobody would see it except for Harold and my mom, which I showed it to right away.
Look,
I
made this
video. We had no idea how it was going to change our lives. Yeah, we just thought it was silly. And the very next day,
so I actually, to go back on my side, so I was in my barracks room doing homework, probably not actually, this was at my desk, and we had our door open, and I had two cadets walk by, and they were like, are you Harold Earls? And I had no idea who these people were, and I was like, yes, I am. And they just laughed and like walked off, and I was like, what in the world? Rachel had just told me that she posted a video. I had a buddy right before that actually text me and say, hey man, how are you doing? And I literally just saw him at baseball practice like 2 hours ago. So I was like, what is this about? Like, so I was like, hold on a second. So I texted my friend, you know, wanted to know what was going on, talked to Rachel, and turns out the video was spreading like haywire across the West Point community, specifically the cadets. And it is a very microcosm at West Point, 4,000 cadets. Things are, you know, spread very fast in that community.
It's like a family.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Both good and bad. And so, the next day, I actually was going to class and into the historic Thayer Hall, walking through the hallway, and I heard my fiance's voice. And I was like, what is going on? And I look into classrooms, and professors, instructors had her video up in front of their classes. And that's when I was like, oh my goodness. I think the whole transparency thing and kind of introducing us to a whole different world became very evident very, very quick.
Rachel, give us a snapshot of what was in that video.
Oh, it was so corny and cheesy. I was just sitting in front of my bed, and I think I had like a camo teddy bear, and I said something about you have a bunch of camo. You start saying military phrases, Roger, hooah, tracking, just like so corny, but it was also relatable. And that was the thing for me as I was dating Harold and seeing not just the military, but West Point, it's this whole other world that you don't know anything about. And so it also was very relatable to the other girlfriends who were excited that now there was a little bit of a voice, you know, for what they were going through. I was getting a lot of pushback. People were making fun of me, giving Harold a little bit of grief. But then the girls really empowered me to keep going. And I don't know, just that the fact that I did have a voice.
So when you realize this thing's gone big time and you're being shown in classrooms at West Point, I'm thinking some people would go, that is the last time I'm ever doing a video like that and putting that online. I don't want that. Other people would go, oh, wait, I'm doing another one this afternoon. Which were you?
Yeah, I think I filmed another one pretty much immediately.
So it was kind of exciting for you that people were paying attention to this.
Yeah. What was number two?
I don't remember.
I remember it.
So oh,
she,
I do remember.
She punched back at the cadets, which I love.
Oh,
you know, that's like
yeah.
her personality too. It's like, okay, if you come at me, like I'm gonna punch back. She actually played the song.
It Shake It Off by Taylor Swift in the beginning. Shake It Off. Yeah, from people making fun of me.
Good for you.
You weren't thinking anything more than this is just kind of a fun hobby.
Right. I didn't even know that people made money doing it. It wasn't until I was watching Dancing with the Stars and there was a YouTuber named Bethany Moda, who I then learned about, and I was like, oh, wow, she makes a lot of money doing this. I could maybe turn this into a career. And so I just kept going.
So this had been your idea in the first place. You'd been the one said to your girlfriend, why don't you make a YouTube channel?
Did that come from?
Well, so she had always had a passion with videography. I remember going to her house, and we would watch back old, like, homemade videos, and she called it the Rachel Show. She was like 5 years old to 7 years old, just like making all these videos about cooking and sprinkles and just like all sorts of things. And then in high school, she was on the video production team. Mm-hmm. So she had always had this passion that God had put there to do something with video. And so she thought that meant, not to speak on behalf of you, but thought that may have meant like a news anchor, mm-hmm. a weather reporter, because that's all that she could see with her own eyes.
Never wanted to be a weather reporter. 100%. And you always say that. Never
no,
in my life.
I think
life.
She did. I think
Never.
She did.
These guys are kind of like us.
It makes for a good story, though. Let's continue, all right? And so I saw this one family on YouTube, and they made videos, and I was like, why don't you just post something on there? And what I think was interesting, she posted the video, it got some backlash, but for me, I loved how she felt empowered. And it kind of was eye-opening to me that it gave her a voice, mm-hmm. especially in a world that was void of that voice. And to me, it became very clear how, wow, God can use this in huge ways. And I honestly felt like I kind of saw that from the very beginning, that this could be a part of our life.
What do you mean God can use it in great ways? How?
Yeah, so now if you fast forward, I mean, we have well over 500,000 followers just on YouTube, a little over 1 million if you cumulative across our different platforms. And that is a community that is rooted in who we are as a family. I mean, we share everything from our mundane life, you know, doing the dishes and hanging out as a family, to some very intense moments of giving birth and finding out we're pregnant. And I think that God uses all of the ordinary moments of our life that not only are relatable to other people, but bring glory back to him. And that was something at the time we could see, but not really see how he would use it. I love how, Rachel, if you want to talk about how we end every video, I think is really a testament of how God is using our story.
Yeah. So we end every video with love God, love people, make a difference, and be thankful. And that's kind of just how we want to live our life. But it was after continually to post these videos that I would start getting messages from the people watching them who would then share their life story with me and their hardships. And maybe it brought them back to Jesus or to know him for the first time or save them during a difficult time of a deployment or a hardship in their marriage. And we actually just, I think 2 years ago now, started the Earls Fam Foundation, which was my dream after I started to see and hear those stories, was to be able to give back to our community in a more personal way, financially, or we've done just a bunch of different projects that we could impact their lives even further than just sharing our personal.
Well, I think we realized
story. We
were going wide. We were reaching millions of people in this community, but we also wanted to go deep because we knew that there were personal things that people were really struggling with. And we realized that we honestly were standing on their shoulders, that we were able to be part of this because of them. And it's like, what can we do to give back? Mm-hmm. And I think that's beautiful is how God has worked through that and allowed us to give back to people really struggling who follow us.
So it wasn't just about becoming famous,
no,
having a bunch of followers. You had a bigger dream.
Yeah, it's so funny that this is kind of where God has called me, because I would actually say I'm way more of a private person. And any day I could just not ever post anything ever again. But it's that constant thing from God just reassuring me through people and sharing them, okay, open up, share what's going on in your life because it is making a difference and I am able to work through you here. But no, definitely never about any sort of fame or numbers. I mean, I'm not a money person. So just really, how can we make a difference?
And I think that's the beautiful thing about it is those raw and emotional moments that happen. Like, we're trying to get pregnant. It's not going our way right now. But like being raw on camera and sharing how you're feeling is so relatable to other people. It's like when we've had some hardships, we thought that our boy Wyatt at the time, we had gotten news and a call from the doctor that he could possibly have
spina bifida.
And for us, like hearing that, like and recording that, it's tough. It's tough for us to go through, but we went through that with the community and we were totally open. It's like we just press record and we just heard all those moments for the first time. We pressed record when the doctor was talking to us and we just let the camera roll and we bring that community in on it because we grow ourselves, you know, through life and they grow alongside us. We don't claim to have all the answers by far.
Yeah,
we don't have close to all the answers, but I think it's that growth and them seeing that growth and seeing the relatability and seeing just how open and honest we are about our life, our failures, our family, our relationship with God. I think that's really where that impact comes.
So I'm listening to you describe this and I'm thinking, are you every day throughout the day going, wait, get the camera on? Like, I'm about to order lunch, turn on the camera.
It's now ubiquitous. It's part of our life. It's wild. It's a we don't even think about vlogging. It's like we just pick up the camera and press record.
Why aren't we vlogging this right now?
I should film your bald head.
That camera's a kid. Did you say my bald head?
He did.
I like him.
I used to joke about bald guys too, and now I'm bald. So maybe coming.
Be
dude.
Careful.
So this has just become, we're bringing our friends into our life. Was there a time in your process of this where you thought, wait a sec, do we really want to be this out in the open and sharing our life with people we don't know? And I mean, what about privacy and what about independence? And do you ever take 2 weeks where you don't vlog? And
it's definitely changed over the years. When I first started out, I was pretty much daily vlogging, so doing it every single day. And now as we've become parents and we wrote a book and we just have all these other things that we are also doing, we cut our schedule back a little bit. We've just been posting 4 times a week. And also something I think people don't understand is there's so much control with vlogging as well. Most of the time, a video is 10 to 15 minutes. And so that's 10 to 15 minutes out of my entire day. So if I don't want to pick up the camera and hit record, I don't have to. You know, so there's a lot that you see and there's a lot that you don't see as well.
Well, two things. One, we always want to be real and authentic. So if like we're struggling, like we're not going to fake it and be like, oh, right, we're happy. It's like, no, we're going to be honest. They're like, hey, we're struggling with this or we're going through this as a family. I think that's important. And I think it's also important to note that like there are definitely, you know, the negative side of having your life so public. You mm-hmm. are open to the criticism of thousands and thousands of people. We actually had one, we recorded it, but we had this person who was making very egregious threats against our child, death threats, very intense and just very explicit threats. Mm-hmm. So we had gotten the police involved and some bureaus of investigation involved because it was very, very personal. And that's where me as a father and wanting to be protective of my family, that's where it's like, I wouldn't wait for a second to stop and be like, nope, we're done. If that's what it came to.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we had that conversation. We said, I wouldn't wait a second, right? But at the same time is, I'm not going to let this person, you know, or Satan more so, impact the glory of God and impact that we're having, right? So we did have a conversation when that happened, and we sat down because it was very intense. It was very tough on our family.
And I am a mama bear. I am going to protect them and everything.
And they were saying
have.
Personal things about our address. So, you know, we didn't know how severe this was. But for us, it was like, we can either stay silent or we can be a light during this time. And we can say, hey, we're going to push through and we're going to keep shining God's light. And we pray for God's protection. We pray that, you know, that he will continue to use us, but we're not going to cower down in this moment just because we're being bullied and someone is standing up against us.
Well, are there moments, I'm guessing there are, well, I don't know, that you're like, that one's too intense. We're not going to let that out. Even maybe you filmed it, but it's like, it's just not appropriate or it got too, you know what I'm saying? I mean, when we're on stage speaking, there are moments like, we can't go there. And our congregation say, oh, they're the most open ever, and they don't know. There's some things.
Are there times that we didn't go there?
I don't know.
I don't even think. I can't think of one.
Probably not. But I think if I had a camera on, there might be an edit coming like, I don't know, honey. Should we post that? Because it went to level 10 and we're sort of capping everything at level 8. I'm just asking.
Yeah, for sure. We're human, right? We make mistakes. I think for us, once stuck out earlier on, we were vlogging and I did a prank pregnancy announcement and like kind of like acted like, you know, Rachel was pregnant. We did it to one of her friends. But for me, that was just me not realizing at the time, you know, there are so many thousands of people that struggle to get pregnant. And for me to do that and almost like poking fun, because we got pregnant and it was relatively easy at the time. Now is not so much the case, but it's like we didn't know that. And we posted it in fun, but we got a decent amount of pushback, rightfully so. And that was just us being young and not understanding that this could be offensive and hurtful to other people. Mm. And so, of course, we said, hey, that's not okay. And we take that down. I think we definitely learn as we go.
When you talk about your community, do you have a lot of people in the military that are following you?
We do have a decent following in the military.
Because Dave and I just had the opportunity to do an online marriage conference with military.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very cool.
And I think it was one of our favorite conferences that we've done just because we were so thankful for how they've served us. Mm. And we also, I don't think we're really aware of how hard it is for deployment, for marriages that are struggling, for the insecurity of not knowing the future. That's not an easy life.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? Being a military family, I think even just being online, we didn't show too much of that side. Yeah. But I think partly because I just wanted to show them that they could have a, you know, almost normal mm-hmm. life, you know? And that is a response I heard from a lot of the women of saying, I'm so glad I found your vlogs to just give me an idea of what my life could look like. And taking away some of those fears, seeing that we still get to have time together and love and laugh and be a family.
Are there any people like in your family or close friends that don't like your vlog? Or are they pushed back on it at all? Or has it been relatively positive?
Not that they don't like the vlog, but we tend not to vlog other people. We like to keep it our just central family and respect other people. In the beginning, yeah, there was a little bit of pushback, specifically more towards me thinking, family members thinking I might hurt Harold's career through vlogging. So
I think what is interesting is, at first, you got pushed back a little bit so from your family and maybe some of your close friends, because what was this world of YouTube, right? And you're going to do this as what, a career, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah, the oldest generation would totally think that. It feels narcissistic.
And
yeah.
Now if you I mean, they did a study the other day, 1 in 3, you know, kids, when you ask them what they want to be, is a YouTuber or an influencer.
Mm-hmm. Right? One in three.
1 in 3 was the stat that came out.
It's wild.
Crazy, right? But at the time, they just can't see that. And they can't see how God is working in you either, right? And so sometimes your family gives good advice, but sometimes they can not give good advice because they want to protect you. They're like, hey, go out and get a real job, quote unquote. Go out and get something that is safe and secure. But God doesn't always operate you within that safe and secure area. Sometimes you got to get outside those comfort zones to really be where he wants you. And I think Rachel is really a testament of that.
Yeah, I'd say the cool thing about Harold and I and our relationship is, like you said, even taking that scary step, a lot of people can't see past that. And so friends really doubting, like, why are you filming yourself? This is so silly. People are going to make fun of you. But Harold and I have always been able to see further down the road of what this could be. But you have to take those scary steps to get there.
Well, you even think about what we've been going through with COVID. You know, as a pastor, if you're leading a church or part of a church that isn't digitally savvy, hasn't been up on, you are sort of lost right now, because that's the way you're going to communicate with your family, your congregation. And, you know, one of my phrases here, which is so corny, but I'm, you know, preachers rhyme things, right? So I've always said, make a dent where you're sent. You know, make a dent where you're sent. That's God's call in our life, where he strategically placed us to make an impact. And people always come up after and go, so where am I sent? You know, I know where you're sent. You're a pastor. I know where missionary sent. You know, where am I sent? And my answer is profound. You know what it is? Where you are is where you're sent. And so I'm listening to your story right now. I'm like, look at this. Who would have ever thought, make a dent where you're sent online through YouTube? That's your congregation. That's your call. For us who grew up in a world that didn't have that, we're like, YouTube. But when you listen to it, you're like, oh my goodness, what a world we live in, that God can use a couple shooting a video in their house to lead people to the King of the Kingdom. That's making a dent where you're sent. That's beautiful. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. God's given you, given me, given us different realms. You think it has to be in a building on a stage? No, it doesn't. Wherever you're sent, use that as a strategic move of God and make a difference, and you're doing it. Way to go. Yeah, seriously, way to go. And I don't want to say to the listener, where are you sent? Where are you living right now? Where's your apartment building? Where are your kids in school? I remember when our kids were playing sports, we're like, we're not here to play sports. We're here to impact all the other parents whose kids are on these sports teams. That's where we're sent right now. So anyway.
Man, this is that's good. My call. I hope they're buckled in and listening up.
I mean, I get excited thinking about it. It's like, wow, who would ever thought this is a mission and a ministry? And it is.
And to even explain it to your kids like that. This isn't about our family. No, this is about helping other families. And what do you guys, just a quick summary, what do you hope your followers will gain?
I think it kind of all rests on that final saying that we say of love God, love people, make a difference, and be thankful. But really, it's just to know that they can have a great, fulfilling life if they're pursuing Jesus. They can find hope and joy. And I just hope that they see that life is worth living every single day, and to choose love. It's so easy to just get caught up in whatever is going on and mess up relationships, but to choose each other every single day.
Summing it up in one sentence is my hopes that they could see what a God-fearing, God-loving family looks like. And undoubtedly, it has its faults. It has its screw-ups. but it also has its beautiful moments. And our hopes is through all of this, we can show all of those moments to them.
And many people have never seen that.
Yeah. Mm. I'm thinking about the one-third of kids who say, I want to be an influencer. And I'm thinking most of them either want to be rich or they want to be famous. Mm-hmm. You guys want to be missionaries. Mm-hmm. And that's a completely different motivation. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden now it's, okay, how can we point people to Jesus? Mm-hmm. How can we point people to the kingdom rather than drawing attention to ourselves or
and to family
or getting rich off of this? Mm-hmm. I'm glad we've had a chance to talk to you guys about your marriage, about Mount Everest, about your vlog. I hope our listeners will go to our website at familylifetoday.com, get more information about the book and about how they can connect with you guys online. Thanks for being here. Thanks for coming and doing this.
Thank you, guys.
The book Harold and Rachel have written is called A Higher Calling, Pursuing Love, Faith, and Mount Everest for a Greater Purpose. You can go online at familylifetoday.com to get a copy or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, our website is familylifetoday.com. You can also order Harold and Rachel's book, A Higher Calling, by calling 1-800-FL-TODAY, 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Well, here in the United States, we are preparing for the annual Day of Thanks, our celebration of Thanksgiving. I hope you're able to be with friends or family. And we want you to know that we are thankful for Family Life Today listeners, and especially for those of you who have moved from being regular listeners to becoming supporters of this ministry, those of you who donate so that Family Life Today can continue to be available not only on this local radio station, but through all the channels through which this program is now heard. Some of you are telling Alexa to play Family Life Today. Some of you are pulling us up on the new Family Life app, or you're streaming Family Life Today as a podcast. However you listen, we're glad to have you along. And for those of you who make the production and syndication of this program possible through your donations, we just want to express our thanks for your support. If you're able to make a donation today, we would love to express our thanks in a tangible way. We'd love to send you a set of ornaments that your children can use during the Christmas season that will help them learn more about who Jesus is. This is a resource we've developed called The 12 Names of Christmas, and it features a dozen kid-friendly ornaments, each one depicting a different name or title for Jesus, so that as your kids hang these ornaments on the tree, you can share with them what it means that Jesus is the Lion of Judah, or that he is the Lamb of God, or that he's the living water or the light of the world. You can perhaps memorize these scriptures together, and you can keep your focus on Jesus during the Christmas season. Again, the 12 Names of Christmas is our thank you gift to you. When you make a donation today to support the ongoing work of Family Life Today, you can do that online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY to make your donation. And we want to say thanks in advance for your support. We appreciate hearing from you. And we hope you can join us again tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day, when we're going to hear from Doug McKelvey about how we can set apart moments in our day to remind ourselves that God is not only present, but he is active and involved in everything going on in our lives. We'll talk about how we can make every moment holy tomorrow. Hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a CREW ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.